Good morning and welcome again. If you're joining us for the first time today, welcome to our church. We're so glad that you're here. Or maybe today's the first time in a while. In that case, welcome back and welcome home. So we're on the verge of concluding our fall sermon series on the spiritual formation practices. We're going to conclude this series next Sunday. But spiritual formation practices are simply ancient habits and exercises by which we can abide in and experience the transforming presence and love of God in Christ. Now, we don't do these practices in order to be saved. Of course not. We do them because we are already saved through grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. That's how we're saved. And as those who have experienced the salvation of God in Jesus, we do these practices in order to be with Jesus and to become more like Jesus and to do what Jesus did, which in essence is to love God and to love people. Now, here are the 9 classical practices that we've been considering in this series: prayer, Sabbath, Scripture, solitude, fasting, community, generosity, service, and hospitality as witness. And today we're going to consider that last practice, hospitality as witness. Now, if you have your Bibles, please be ready to turn to a few places, but for the sake of everyone's comfort and convenience, we'll have the scriptures on the screen for you as well. People of God, this is the reading of the Word of our God, and God speaks to us in the public reading of his word. So please listen carefully. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, we live in a world that is increasingly disconnected and isolated. We live in an age that sociologists are calling the age of loneliness. You know, people have more virtual contacts than ever before, right? Especially with the rise of social media. And yet, also at the same time, there are fewer genuine connections between people than ever before. You know, a recent study found that nearly half of American adults, that's like half of us, report feeling chronically lonely. Chronically lonely means not lonely once in a while, but regularly lonely. Whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, we're always lonely. You know, because of the increased mobility, hyper-individualism, and just the general busyness of trying to live life in Northern Virginia, so many people struggle with chronic loneliness, and a lot of people don't live with any real meaningful community. Now, people may not put it this way, but what I think people are longing for is welcome. A place where they can be seen, a place where they can be heard, a place where they can experience connection, community, and that sense of belonging that we all want to have. And so into our lonely and disconnected and isolated world, our Lord Jesus gives us this refreshing command, this practice of hospitality. To open our homes, to make space at our dinner tables, and to share our lives with other people. And when we do that, as Christians, with the heart of Jesus, it becomes one of the most powerful ways that we can bear witness to Jesus and to the gospel. You see, hospitality is not just a nice thing to do. It's not just a social thing to do. It is indeed a form of gospel witness, a way of revealing to the world that our God is a hospitable God who is always welcoming people to himself and into his family. So today we're going to talk about the practice of hospitality as witness, as a form of gospel witness? I'm going to structure my sermon around these three questions. They're familiar questions, right? First, what is the practice of hospitality as witness? Second, why should we do this practice? And third, how can we do this practice? First question, what is hospitality? Now, I think a lot of us tend to think about hospitality as the same thing as entertaining guests. The two are similar, but they're different. There's a difference between entertaining friends and showing hospitality. Now, the Greek word for hospitality is philoxenia. It means love of the stranger. It's the opposite of xenophobia, which is fear the stranger. So hospitality is the opposite of xenophobia. It's love of the stranger, not love of friends, not love of family, not love of people that you know and who look like you, but love of the stranger, love of the outsider, the love of the person that might be distant from you. You see, biblical hospitality is something far deeper than merely entertaining friends. Now, don't mishear me. Entertaining friends, you can show hospitality to your family and friends as well. But biblical hospitality extends beyond family and friends. It is the radical act of making space. Not just physical space in our homes, but emotional and spiritual space in our lives for the stranger, for the outsider, for the lonely, for the hurting, for the vulnerable. Author and pastor John Mark Comer said this, "Hospitality isn't just about food. It's about creating space for people to be seen, known, and loved." So that's the practice of hospitality. The practice of witness, on the other hand, is the discipline of proclaiming Jesus Christ. It's the discipline of making the gospel known. Now, for most people who are not professional preachers, the way Christians ordinarily bear witness to Jesus is not by preaching sermons. It's by living beautiful lives that reflect the gospel with both their words and their deeds. So when we combine hospitality and witness, when we braid them together, it becomes this. It is the intentional and prayerful opening up of our homes and of our lives to welcome those who are some sort of outsider. Not to convert them with clever words, but to allow them to see and to experience the reality of the gospel in beautiful and tangible ways. You see, it's showing, not just telling, but showing the welcome of God in the gospel. It's inviting others into our homes and in such a way that they would experience something of Jesus, right? His love, his peace, his patience, his presence, and his welcome. You see, hospitality is not just for our friends. It's for the outsider, the overlooked, the lonely, the left behind, the left out, and the broken. The practice of hospitality bears witness to the beautiful kingdom of God, where everyone is welcomed, where everyone belongs, and no one is left out or left behind. Practicing hospitality as witness is the art of making God's love visible through our welcome. It's evangelism that happens not in a pulpit, but around a dinner table, not with a microphone, but with a meal. And when we open our homes and our hearts to others, we reveal the heart and the welcome of God in ways that sermons alone never could. Here's the second question. Why should we practice hospitality as witness? Well, let me give you a few reasons. Here's the first reason. Because Jesus did. Did you know that Jesus made hospitality one of the central features of his ministry? Jesus was always at dinner tables. He was always eating and drinking with people. In fact, he ate and drank so much with people that his opponents accused him of being a drunkard and a glutton. And Jesus didn't just preach about the kingdom being for the outsider and for the marginalized. He actually embodied it. And we saw it in the kinds of people he welcomed to himself. Not the religious, not the wealthy, not the socially in, but the lepers, the widows, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. Jesus regularly ate with people that the religious leaders of his day did not approve of. They thought Jesus was corrupting himself by being around such people. You see, Jesus didn't just talk about loving your neighbors. He demonstrated love for his neighbors by being at the same table with them, eating and drinking with them, no matter what their background was. You know, in Luke's gospel, a Bible commentator said that Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. It seemed like his entire ministry was centered around tables. You see, that's how Jesus revealed his kingdom and invited people into his kingdom, at the dinner table. And when we invite people to our dining tables, we become the living invitations of Jesus as Jesus invites and welcomes people into his kingdom through us. Here's the second reason why we should practice hospitality. Because God first welcomed us. We practice hospitality because God first practiced hospitality toward us. We were once strangers, aliens, and enemies of God. We were once the kind of people that nobody wanted in their homes. And yet, Jesus opened the door to his home, to us, and he welcomed us in. And he didn't just welcome us in, he brought us in to be a part of his family so that we might be adopted as sons and daughters of God. And do you know what it cost Jesus to give us that kind of welcome? He had to give his life on the cross for us to receive that kind of hospitality, that kind of welcome, so that we might become sons and daughters of God. And when we welcome people into our homes and lives, even at a cost to ourselves, we are in a small way mirroring the beautiful welcome that we receive from Jesus. Listen to these beautiful words from Romans chapter 15, verse 7. It says this: welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Every act of hospitality that we offer is a reflection of that gospel welcome. When we open our homes to people, we're saying, as Jesus welcomed me, so I welcome you, right? Here's the third reason: because it makes us more like Jesus. You know, hospitality is not just something that we do for others. It's something that God uses to do a deep work in us. Because when we show hospitality, it stretches us. It forms us. It humbles us. See, hospitality is not only to bless others, but it is one of the tools that the Holy Spirit uses for our own spiritual formation, to make us more like Jesus. You see, when we learn to open up our homes, God teaches us to open up our hearts. Hospitality shapes us into the likeness of Jesus. It teaches us to slow down in a hurried world. It teaches us to be tender and present in a cynical world. It teaches us to love others selflessly in a self-centered world. It teaches us to serve without the need to be applauded. It teaches us, it trains us to consider the needs of others before our own. In short, practicing hospitality grows in us the mind and the heart of Jesus. And let's be honest, hospitality is not always easy to show, is it? I mean, you have to clean the house. You have to go shopping. There's work involved. It's costly. It's inconvenient. Sometimes it's awkward when someone's over and you get stuck in that conversation, right? And sometimes even people come over and they're unappreciative, right? And you're wondering, why am I doing this? But it's in that mess and that stress of trying to take care of someone else's needs that God shows you something about you. And God shows you something about him. And he teaches you to love and serve unconditionally the way he loved and served you unconditionally. Fourth reason, because the gospel moves through tables. Listen to this, Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. They broke bread in their homes, not in the temples. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I think that's just so awesome. The early church grew through gathering around tables, not in temples. Ordinary believers opened up their homes and had people over. The gospel spread primarily through conversations in living rooms, not sermons in worship services. Hospitality was the early church's evangelism strategy. Their homes became places where they loved people, prayed with people, shared meals with people, and the Lord used it to add to their number daily. You see, hospitality was the engine of mission. Hospitality was what empowered the gospel to go forward as homes turned into places of worship and prayer and witness. And meals, ordinary meals, became moments when people would encounter the gospel. So church, the application for us is this. Our dining tables might be one of the most powerful platforms for our gospel witness. You see, the smell of delicious food can carry as much gospel fragrance and aroma as a well-crafted sermon. And people are more likely to listen to your gospel when they've been invited to your table. Again, let's be honest. People aren't walking into churches nowadays. But people will walk into your home. They may not listen to a sermon, but they will listen to your story over coffee and desserts. And what they experience at your dining table in your living room might be their first genuine encounter with the gospel. What a privilege we have when we open up our homes, widen our tables, and open our hearts to one another. Author and pastor John Mark Comer observed that one of the most powerful witnesses of the early church wasn't in its preaching alone, but its practice of table fellowship. You see, the early church was very divided back then, right? Jews and Gentiles were divided. Rich and poor were divided. Slaves and free were divided. Men and women were divided. A very divided world. But all of these people who the world said should be divided began to come together and eat together at the same table, and they began to share their meals and their lives with one another as equals in Jesus Christ. And their shared life together at the same table was a living testimony to the world that Jesus was creating a new kind of family. The world that we live in is pretty divided too, isn't it? A lot of hostility, a lot of division over political, cultural, generational differences. And I believe that the world today needs the witness of the church more than ever before. Because in the church, there's all sorts of people who wouldn't naturally get along. People who are politically conservative and people who are politically progressive. People from different ethnicities, races, and cultures. People from different generations. Boomers, Gen Xers, Millennials, Gen Z, and now Gen Alpha. I think that's what they're called. And we have so many reasons to divide and to separate and to look upon one another with suspicion and even hostility. And so we, the church, have the opportunity to bear witness to the beautiful power of the gospel to reconcile and to heal divisions. And how do we do that? By sitting together at the same tables, by sharing our meals, our stories and our lives together as we focus on what unites us as followers of Jesus rather than what would potentially divide us. That is an opportunity that the church has to bear witness to the gospel to a watching and divided world. All right, here's the third and final question, the practical question. So how should we practice hospitality as a form of witness? Let me give you some practical and pastoral guidance. First, start with prayer. Hospitality does not begin in your kitchen, it begins in your heart. Before you open your door, ask God to open your heart, right? And you can pray something simple, something like, Father, make my life spacious for others. Help me to see whom you are asking me to invite and to extend a welcome to. And also on a practical note, you can't practice hospitality when your calendars are so full, right? So you have to start deleting things, making space in your calendar so you can have people over. And then pray that God would give you a heart where you would want to welcome people into your home. Second, start small, start simple. You don't have to do some fancy big event, right? Invite someone over for a cup of coffee. Invite someone at church you don't know very well to have a meal with you. Or if someone's struggling, cook a meal and take it to them. If you have young kids, invite another family with young kids and just be in chaos together. If you live alone, host a few friends once or twice a week at your house. Host a community group. Host a journey group. Open up your home. You see, hospitality is not about impressing people. It's about blessing people. Hospitality is about making room in your life so that the love of Jesus can flow from you and through you to others. You know, a cluttered living room filled with laughter is more beautiful in Jesus' eyes than a spotless dining room that never welcomes anyone. You see, what matters is not the setting for the meal, but the sharing of life over a meal. That's what matters. Third, try and start a rhythm. Consider creating small, repeatable habits, like maybe on Sunday nights, you have people over to have dinner together as you practice hospitality. Or maybe you take someone out and treat them to a meal once or twice a month. You see, the regular practice of hospitality forms community. And over time, those simple meals shared together will lead to deep spiritual friendships. Initially, people may come for the food, but they're going to keep coming back and staying for the love, right? And who knows, maybe through your love, they might catch a glimpse of the love of Jesus for them. And they might embrace Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? Fourth, think missionally. Be intentional. Ask yourself, who in my life needs to experience the love of Jesus? And at this time, you don't always have to just invite your favorite people over. Maybe it's a coworker that's struggling. Maybe it's a student that you're aware of who's away from home during the holidays. Maybe it's a neighbor or a friend that's going through some kind of loss or suffering. Look for and notice the people on the margins, the people that usually don't get the invitations, the people that are usually left alone. Think about the guy or the girl at church who you've seen, but they haven't found their place in our community yet. Ask the Holy Spirit to place one person on your heart. And maybe this week or this month, say, I'm going to reach out to that brother or that sister and I'm going to invite them over so that they can experience the welcome of Jesus through my welcome. That's the heart of hospitality. Fifth, share stories. Don't preach, share stories. Let your dinner table become a place where stories are shared. Be curious. Ask good questions. Listen carefully. Put your phone away, right? Don't be always looking at your phone as they're talking to you. Don't do that. Honor the person in front of you as an image bearer of God and honor their stories by listening well. And over time, that kind of love and curiosity opens the door for spiritual conversations. You see, talking about what Jesus has done in your life will most likely begin with supper, not with you preaching a sermon. And it begins when someone feels comfortable and safe enough with you to share their stories. And then that becomes an opportunity for you to share your story of how Jesus has made a profound difference in your life. And through your story, they get to hear about this Jesus and what he has done for you. You know, when we open our homes to people, we're saying to them, you matter, I see you, and Jesus who welcomed me also welcomes you. This is witness through hospitality. It's about making room at your dining table so that the people at your dining table can see and experience the presence and the love and the welcome of Jesus. Six, lastly, embrace the cost. Hospitality will always involve some kind of sacrifice. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you emotional energy. There will be times when you will just want to be left alone and just kind of watch Netflix by yourself. It's easier, right? And it's cheaper to be isolated. But we remember the gospel, don't we? And remember that Jesus left heaven to come to show us hospitality. And we remember what it cost Jesus to show us hospitality and welcome. And when we practice hospitality at a cost to ourselves, we're not just following in the footsteps of Jesus, but we're also making Jesus's welcome visible and beautiful for others to see and to experience. And who knows? Maybe one of your guests will experience and embrace Jesus's welcome because of your welcome. Wouldn't that be amazing? That'd be amazing. So what, now I want to conclude today my sermon with a story. So some years ago, Rosaria Butterfield was a tenured professor at Syracuse University. She was deeply committed to feminist theology, to LGBTQ advocacy, and she was openly hostile to Christianity. She was writing a book critiquing the religious right, and she published an article to prepare for that book, and that article drew a flood of responses, right? Praise from her supporters and anger from her opponents. But one letter stood out. It was a letter from a local pastor named Pastor Ken Smith. His letter wasn't argumentative or angry or defensive. It was thoughtful. It was gentle and curious. And at the end of the letter, he extended an invitation, simply writing, "Would you like to come to dinner?" Now, Rosaria accepted that invitation mostly out of academic curiosity. And here's what surprised her. She thought it was going to be a trap. She thought it was going to be an invitation to come and to debate with her, right? But Pastor Ken and his wife, Floyd, didn't treat her like a project, like an evangelism project. They simply welcomed her as a neighbor to love. Now, their home wasn't impressive. Their home was simple, but it was warm. They prayed before the meal. They talked about life, and they talked about the Bible naturally, not forcibly. And they invited Rosaria back again. And that first dinner turned into a weekly rhythm. For 2 years, she went over to Pastor Ken's house every Sunday to have meals, to have conversations, to ask questions, and to experience friendship. And Rosaria later wrote, "Ken and Floyd's home made Christianity plausible." There was no strategy. There was no agenda except simply to extend Christ-like love and welcome to a neighbor. But around that dinner table, the Holy Spirit slowly began to soften Rosaria's heart. The scriptures became alive. The gospel became beautiful. And eventually, Rosaria surrendered her life to Jesus. You know, her story reminds us that hospitality is the pathway that the gospel takes to get to the hearts of people. You know, Rosaria would never have gone to Pastor Ken's church to hear a sermon there. But she was willing to go to his living room and meet Jesus there. Sometimes the most powerful evangelism isn't a sermon. It's a warm meal. It's a warm hug. It's a warm friendship. You know, Pastor Ken and Floyd didn't win Rosaria by, you know, doing apologetics, right? They welcomed her with the love of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit did the rest. You know, Christ Central family, I can't help but wonder what could happen at our church. If we opened up our homes and our hearts and made space at our dining tables to practice hospitality as a form of gospel witness. If we all welcome people into our homes with warm hugs and warm meals and warm conversation. If we made the welcome of Jesus visible and beautiful through our welcome. And maybe, just maybe, Jesus may show his smiling face and extend his healing welcome to someone who needs it in our homes and at our tables. Wouldn't that be amazing? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you welcomed us when we were strangers and even enemies. You invited us to your table and you called us your friends. Make us a people of open homes and open hearts. Would you use our dinner tables, our meals, and our everyday lives to bear a beautiful witness to your kingdom and love. And may those who sit with us at our tables not only experience good food, but more importantly, may they experience the goodness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Church family, would you stand with us as we close out our